Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here on this Thanksgiving Day 2017, my 21st consecutive live Thanksgiving Day show. I'm glad you're here. I'm so excited. I love doing this, especially when we get a chance to bring our good friend Ken Davis back on the show. Ken is our historian in the Brain Trust, has been now for a dozen years at least. And he's, many of you have seen him, his handsome face on television. He does a lot of television talking about the holidays, talking about the history of America on a lot of historical moments in the year of America. He's the author of so many books. I can't see over the top of the stack here. A Nation Rising, I think, is the new one. Also, The Hidden History of America at War. But he's most originally known for the Don't Know Much About books, Don't Know Much About History, et cetera, et cetera. He's our good friend, Ken Davis. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you, first of all, for having me on and for your many years of good work. We've had some fun together.
We have. You've been with me many, many times during the year, over the years, and we appreciate your steadfast support.
And I always work on the holidays just like you.
Just like me, yeah. And the roads are pretty clear, not a lot of traffic on the holiday. That's one thing I like about it. So talk to us about the origins of Thanksgiving.
Well, first of all, I want to say no matter what I say to bust the myths and break the traditional ideas here, the idea is really important. This is a day that we are supposed to be grateful for the many blessings that we have. And you said it's unique to America, and that's, you know, not completely true. We should say that first right off the bat. In fact, the Canadians celebrate their Thanksgiving Day in October, which is probably a lot more appropriate to the first American Thanksgiving that we think of, the Pilgrims celebrating it in October of 1621. So
they're not as obnoxious about it as we are, though.
They seem to be more low-key about it.
Except for maybe the Quebecans.
Many other countries and throughout history, civilizations, have celebrated what is essentially a feast of the harvest.
Right.
It's a very fundamental idea. You're celebrating the fact that the crops came in and you're going to be able to make it through the winter.
It's a religious thing for many countries.
It is tied to religion, but
they're thankful to their gods or their god or whatever.
More tied into the ancient idea that you were grateful to the gods, as you just said. Yeah. For the harvest in particular. So it is a very ancient piece of human civilization. Of course, in America, the notion that it's related to the arrival of the Pilgrims in Massachusetts in 1620, December 1620, mm-hmm. is really piled where the mythology and the misconceptions get piled on. But just to go over the story, the Mayflower left Plymouth, England, in the fall of 1620, about 2 months at sea, a 90-foot-long boat, kind of leaky, not a cruise liner at all. The 102 passengers had to stay below decks. The crew didn't want them mucking around up on the on the deck. So there they were, down below decks, low ceilings, chickens, cats, dogs, other assorted animals. It must have been pretty ripe down there,
including two kinds of passengers, right? The separatists, and then and what they call the others. They were
that's right. They actually called them the strangers, and that's one of the first myths that all the people on the Mayflower were pilgrims. They were not. About half of them were what we call pilgrims. They didn't use that word for themselves. Right. It was applied to them later on. They actually called themselves the saints.
which is what I call myself oftentimes.
Yes, and I'm sure your wife has called you a saint
course,
on more
yes.
than one occasion. Mm-hmm. But so there were the saints, and then there were the strangers. And the strangers included indentured servants, some mercenaries who were paid guns, essentially, to provide security once the colony was established, and then other people who were coming simply to find an opportunity in this new world that was being opened up. Next little myth that we should, or misconception.
And remember, these people were below deck, and this was before deodorant. Go ahead, Ken.
This is before deodorant. There was, you know, they could keep a small cook fire, but there was certainly no hot and cold running water, and probably no soap either.
Right.
So that's why I say they probably, after 2 months, they were pretty ripe, and they were ready to get off the ship. They land first in what is now Provincetown and Cape Cod.
This is a fascinating part of the story right here.
This land had all been mapped already, by the way, much earlier by Captain John Smith of Virginia fame. Mm-hmm. This territory, this land had been visited by many other English and European sailors and cod fishermen especially. So there had been tremendous interchange and trade already with the Native American people, not always with happy results. Mm-hmm. So this was not somebody coming into a brand new situation about which they knew nothing.
They knew some stuff about this place.
They knew a little, but not everything. So they land in Cape Cod. It is December. It's the North Atlantic. It was cold. It was probably not a good time to stop. They were supposed to go further south. The captain decided to stop. It said because they needed fresh water. They had run out of beer, which they drank instead of water. And
it helps with not having deodorant.
And then they were also fearful of the winter storms coming. So they stopped there rather than going further south. What that meant was that they were not under the control of the Virginia colony that already existed. Mm-hmm. So that's a fairly salient point. They wander around Cape Cod for a bit, find some corn that's been buried by local Native Americans and help themselves to it. We don't know if they left an IOU or not, but they were watched all the time by the locals. Then they move on and
Well, they ran them off. Didn't the Indians run them off of that?
No, they moved on their own. And
okay,
the
story I'm sticking to. Go ahead.
Okay, then they moved to a deserted Native American village and established what they call Plymouth, the new Plymouth colony, Plymouth Plantation.
Tell them why the village was deserted.
There wasn't completely deserted in the sense that there were bones there, and they were the bones of the people who had lived there. And died most likely and from an epidemic, some kind of disease. We're not even certain what the disease was. Most likely introduced by some of those English or other European sailors and fishermen. So this is a very, very different story.
And as we go to the break, and we're going to let Ken finish this on the other side, that village turns out to be a very serendipitous village, doesn't it, Ken?
It does indeed.
And when serendipity meets cause and effect, some pretty cool things happen for people like you and me who stand on the shoulders of the Mayflower heroes. And we're going to take a quick break right back with our good friend Ken Davis. KennethCDavis.com. Did I say that right? No.
It's don'tknowmuch.com.
That's it. Don'tknowmuch.com. Check it out, folks. All of his books are right there.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.